You have your Bible this morning. If you'll turn to the Galatian letter in the first chapter, that's where we'll begin our study. Could have some visiting with us this morning. I encourage you to get your Bible that you may study with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe, and yet at the same time, I have the responsibility to preach the truth of God. If you find that I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. Or if you think I stated something in a way that's unbecoming of a child of God, I stand to be corrected. Our intention is to preach the truth of God in love and humility, and that we may follow the will of God and be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In the Galatian letter and the first chapter, look with me beginning at verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. I'd like to define a word for you at the beginning of our study. And no doubt it is a word that most would know. But for our study, just to clear up any misunderstanding, I want to be clear and have a clear understanding of what I intend to discuss at this particular time. And the word I want to define is the word gag. And when you look at that word gag as defined by Webster's dictionary, you'll find that in the context in which I intend to use the word, it means to stop the mouth by thrusting something in, or to hinder one from speaking. So in other words, to gag one means to restrain one's voice from being heard. And with that in my mind, and with that in your mind, what I'd like for us to do is to consider how many have sought to gag God. How many have tried to silence the voice of God? And how many have tried to hinder God's word from being preached and proclaimed even in this nation of ours? And what I'd like to do is, with that definition in mind, is that I pray we open our Bibles and with open Bibles and open minds, make a study of the issue of gagging God or silencing God. And what I want to do is examine several ways individuals try to silence the voice of God. How they try to hinder God's word from being heard. If you take your Bible and look in the book of 1 Samuel and the 15th chapter, I want you to first understand that some people try to silence the voice of God or gag God by ignoring what God says. It is not that they do not understand what God has said. It is not that they do not know what God has said. It is that they do not care what God has said. Or they believe they are the exception. They believe they do not need to heed the voice of God. For some reason they may have in their mind, they do not have to listen to what God has said. In your Bible, in 1 Samuel and the 15th chapter, you'll find a man who's identified as Saul. And you'll recognize he had become king over Israel, the first king of that nation. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, to save some time, you remember that God had given him a command. God had told him to obey his word and to destroy the Amalekites, utterly destroy that nation of people and all in that nation. But when you look in your Bible in 1 Samuel 15, you'll find that Samuel did not heed the voice of God and spared some things, including the king. Then take your Bible and look at verse 19. In verse 19, Samuel addresses Saul and says, "Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord?" If you take your Bible, underscore that one sentence. Samuel asked a great question. God had told Saul what to do. Saul had ignored God's word. And Samuel says, "Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" But look at Samuel's response. And it just might shock you what he said. "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord." Samuel addresses the fact that he had kept the spoil, that which God had told him to annihilate, God told him to destroy. And then Saul responds, "But I did obey." I'll tell you, that man ignored part of the precept of God. But look at what he does in verse 20. "And gone on the mission which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag of the Amalekites, I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder the sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord." I want you to know, this man tries to blame others. God had told him what to do, and as king, that man had the authority to obey God and to tell others to obey God. Yet that man did not obey. That man ignored part of what God said. And look at verse 22. "Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice.'" Do you recognize this morning that that man was rebuked because he had ignored part of the command of God? He had in his mind justified to do his own thing in his way and come back and say, "God will be pleased with this." But notice, Saul was told by Samuel, God is not pleased. God said in verse 22 that it is better to obey than sacrifice. Now then, if you take your Bible, look if you will in 2 Samuel chapter 6. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, you get a second picture of an individual that ignored the command of God. You remember that under the old covenant, no one was to touch the Ark of the Covenant. That was something that was holy. That was something that was set aside. But here was a man identified as Uzzah. And you remember they're bringing the ark back to Jerusalem after it had been stolen. And as they're bringing it back, the scripture says in verse 6 that Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. Now someone might say, well, the man was just trying to help. The man was trying to help because the ark could have became unsteady. The ark could have fallen. And they may look and say, why would God's anger be roused against a man who was trying to help God? One reason. That man had ignored the voice of God. God said, "Do not touch the ark of the covenant or you will die." Have you ever stopped to think God doesn't need man to assert his authority over what God has said? And that man had disregarded, that man had ignored the voice of God. He tried to silence the voice of God, and he made himself feel more powerful by breaching up and touching the ark, and thus God struck him dead. Now then, if you take your Bible, look if you will in the book of Matthew in the 13th chapter. When you come to the New Testament, I believe we can see where Jesus speaks on such. In Matthew 13, look at what Jesus said in verse 14 and 15. In verse 15, to save some time, he said, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their ears, see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." You know what the Lord was saying in the book of Matthew in the 13th chapter? Their ears are dull. In other words, they do not hear. They become hard of hearing. They did not want to listen to what God has said. Have you ever thought that in every generation, in every dispensation, there have been people who've known what God has said, but they sought to silence God by ignoring it? It was not that they did not know what He said, it was they didn't care. Open your Bible again, if you will, to 2 Peter and the 3rd chapter. And when you come to 2 Peter and the 3rd chapter, notice, if you will, most kindly what Peter had to say in verse 5. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, he said, "For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Then, if you have your Bible, look, if you will, and understand in verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word. Look at that same word. Notice, they willfully get the Word of God. They willfully get it's by His Word this world was created. It's by His Word this world still exists. But they willfully ignore it. They willfully put it out of their mind. They willfully ignore what God has said and try to forget His divine Word. Now this morning, a lot of people try to silence God from their conscience, from their life, from everything that deals with their life on this earth by silencing Him, by gagging Him, by ignoring what He says. But I'll tell you a second thing they try to do. Some people try to gag God by perverting His truth. They may not just ignore it, but they try to change, they try to pollute, they try to adulterate what God has said. Open your Bible back to the Galatian letter and the first chapter. In Galatians chapter 1, look at what Paul said in verse 6. He said, I marvel, I'm amazed, you're turning away so soon from Him, that's Christ, who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But notice if you have your Bible, he says they pervert the truth of God. Have you ever thought what some people do is twist God's Word, change God's Word? They adulterate it. They pollute it. They take that which is pure. They take that which God has revealed and they change it. I want you to stop and to think about, my friend, that a lot of people in Nashville, Tennessee and Sheffield, Tennessee change God's Word. And I want you to know what Paul said, let them be accursed. Because not only does it affect their soul, but when I change what God has said and I teach that, it affects others. Now he's identifying the Judaizers that were coming in to the churches throughout Galatia and were trying to lead people astray. And he says, I want you not to turn away from the truth that can save you. You ever thought that's what happened to Adam and Eve? Satan perverted truth. Satan came and said, has God said if you eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, you'll not die. And you know what people today do? They pervert God's truth. They change what God has specifically said and say, that's not what's going to happen. God doesn't care. God's just glad you love Him a little bit. God's just glad you give Him some attention. All you have to do is just come and do whatever you want to just give God glory and God will accept it. But I'll tell you a third thing they tried. They tried to silence the messengers of God. You ever notice that's what they did to Jesus in John 11? If you look in verse 48, they said if He continues to preach, people will believe Him. And what was it that Caiaphas said? And from then on, they sought and plotted to what? Put Him to death. What did they do to Stephen in the book of Acts in the 7th chapter when they didn't like his message? They put him to death. So I've recognized that there are people today trying to silence God, trying to gag God. They ignore what He says, they pervert His truth, or they silence His messenger. Now that brings up a thought for our study. How do we hear God today? Well, we know in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2 that God spoke in different ways in times past, but in these last days has spoken to us through His Son. And Paul tells us in the Roman letter and the 10th chapter in verse 17 that hearing is how we come to know God, but we have to hear what? The Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God speaks to us today through the Scriptures, through His holy Word. Open your Bible, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, notice, if you will, what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in verse 16. All Scripture, now I have that underscored in my Bible, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture. Not every feeling, all Scripture. So I recognize this morning that God speaks to me through His Word. He speaks to you, He speaks to me, He speaks to all mankind through the same method, through the divine word. But do you recognize there are people today who still seek to silence that word? Do you recognize there are people that seek to put the word of God and gag it? Yesterday or Friday, didn't they not legalize homosexuality? And I'll tell you, that's one way today you'll see people try to get around God's word and silence God. They legalize what God's word expressly forbids. But I care not what the law is. The law of the land does not supersede God's law. God's law supersedes man's law. What was it that Peter said? We must obey God rather than men. God's word always is over man's law. And so because this law is on the books that homosexual marriage is okay in the eyes of man, does not make it okay in the eyes of God. And I would to God that we would look and see what God's word has said. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 6. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth. In verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care if my government says they will, God says they won't, God will be the one to judge in that day. Those individuals in Washington, D.C. may have judgment over the affairs of this land. They do not have judgment over the eternal welfare of man's soul. That belongs only to God. And then notice he said, that's what some of you were, but you changed. They couldn't stay in that state and be saved. Well, not just homosexuality. Look at the other sins that are mentioned there. Drunkards, covetousness, all those individuals. He said in verse 11, such were some of you. They didn't stay that way in God redeeming. They changed. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You can't stay in a sinful state and expect God to forgive you. His grace removes the sin, but you change to be a disciple. But I'll tell you what people want to do. They want to stay in their sinful state and say God will accept it. Oh no, my friend. And if you say that it's wrong, they'll say the second thing. This is how they try to gag God. They will say, well, Christians are unloving and intolerant and judgy. No. God's word is what judges. God says what's right or wrong. The creator of the universe, the one who's made us out of dust, has the express right to tell me what is right and wrong. Now, he's given me free will. I can rebel. I can live in sin. I can ignore God's word. I can pervert the truth. I can do all those things. But I'll tell you what, he said, you'll live with the consequences. That's God's judgment. I would that I could get that in the hearts of men and women. If you call sin, sin, many will say you're attacking them, you're calling. That's not so. No matter the sin, whether it be homosexuality, whether it be drunkenness, whatever the sin, it needs to be opposed. That's the most loving thing you do. Because an individual living in sin is on the road to hell. That's what God's word said. In John 12, 48, Jesus said, by my word you will be judged. And what's happened is, we think that we need to try to persuade God. That's not what's said. Look back in Galatians chapter 1. Look in Galatians 1. What we need to be doing is persuading men to follow God, not trying to persuade God to obey man. That's the problem. Look, if you will, in verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of God. Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at what he says. When he's writing to the church at Corinth in that second epistle, look, if you will, at verse 10. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade God. No, we persuade men. But we were well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to get people to see what God has said. But some will ignore it. Some will pervert His truth. Look in local churches today. You know what a lot of people do? They pervert the truth. They say that things don't matter, and they say that you can do what you want to do, and God doesn't care if you just worship God. But I want to tell you, if we claim to be a New Testament church, we need to give authority for whatever we do. Because we say we are obeying God, we're pleasing God, then we need to give a pattern for what we do. I hear some people say, it doesn't matter. I want to tell you, did it matter when Uzzah did not keep God's word? Did it matter that Noah followed a pattern? Open your Bible to the Hebrew letter and the 8th chapter. In Hebrews chapter 8, remember God gave a pattern for the building of the tabernacle. And look at verse 5. He says, who served the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mount. You know why we don't have instrumental music this morning? It's not in the pattern. And I want to tell you, my friend, one of the most dangerous things is to assume God doesn't care and ignore the pattern. People pervert the truth. People take away from God's word. People try to change and adulterate what God has clearly said or not clearly said. We try to take away God's authority. People gag God and rob Him of His authority. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18, all authority has been given to me. I want to raise a question. In this nation, where so many people are trying to silence God by perverting His truth, by ignoring what He said, I'll tell you what the next step will be. They'll start silencing His message. And I want to know, my friend, are we going to march on with God's Word? I want to know, is our faith such that we, like the people in the days of John in the Revelation letter, that he said, as we talked about in our Bible study this morning, blessed are they who die in the Lord from now on. Why? Because all anyone can take from us is this flesh if we are in the Lord. God's Word is eternal. God's authority is eternal. Man may try to silence Him. Man may try to gag Him. Man may do a lot of things to try to get around what God has said. But in the end, we all will stand before Him in judgment. And I'll tell you what, my friend. You may defy God. But in judgment, He'll silence you. Best heed His word and follow Him now. Take a stand and let people know you're not ashamed to say you're a Christian. And let men call us names. Let men make fun of us. Let men say we're judging. You point them to the Word. They may ignore it. They may pervert it. They may silence us. But His truth endures. If you're here this morning, you need to be a child of God, we pray you'd come this morning as together we stand and sing. We cordially invite you.